the greatest years of your life. Just give your heart to God. Just don't hold back. If you feel the Holy Spirit working, and it's the biggest thing I'm scared of, Brother Rich, is just getting the Holy Spirit's way. God wants to do something. The Holy Spirit wants to work. Stopping Him. Whatever it is. If we need to have an invitation right now and not preach at all, I'll close my Bible and have our invitation and we'll leave. Whatever God wants. Would you open your heart to God? Whatever He has for you, you'll do. Psalm chapter 37. I really just have one verse, and we'll just talk about it for a minute, and then we'll be dismissed. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I don't want to break the mood, but I have an illustration I'd like to give, so I'm going to need some volunteers. So I'm going to need about 10 teens. All you have to do is hold a sign. So if I can just 10 people come on up, 10 people come on up, first 10 that come up. All you got to do is hold a sign. You're not doing anything goofy. I'm not embarrassing you. I'd just like you to help me, please. 10 people come on up. You can stay right behind me. 6, 7, 8. Two more. Is that your hand up, brother? Oh, okay. Is that enough? Come on up. Yeah. One more. Come on. All right. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I love this verse. And before I get into this real quick, I might not get a chance at the end. I just want to thank you so much for letting me be here. Thank you so much, Brother Rich, for this incredible opportunity. Brother Donald. I love Brother Donald, one of my closest friends. We have so many memories. This is just another one to add. We had an all-nighter with our teenagers once. We used to call them sleepovers, and we realized that the teens never slept at it, so we called it an all-nighter. And we had a church service. It started about, I think, 10 o'clock in the auditorium. Didn't have anything planned. Didn't really know what was going to happen. Donald got up, led some singing, some testimonies. I preached, then I went to the piano, and the invitation must have lasted almost an hour, I think. It was incredible. And just some of the great memories that we have, some of the things we've seen God do. He's been like this since I've known him, the way he leads singing. He's crazy. And if you ever tried to play the piano and follow him, I remember one time it was in February at our winter carnival. It was cold outside, and he's singing, going crazy, and I'm trying to follow him, whatever I can do in the piano. I looked down, and there was blood all over the keys. I had somehow ripped one of my fingers and was just playing and bloodied all the keys on the piano. But we have so many great memories, and I just want to thank you so much, Brother Donald, for inviting me, but just a great job you've done today. Let's give him a hand. He's just done such an incredible job putting this together. Very first youth rally, and we just want to thank each of you. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you, pastors, for taking time. I know what it's like. My teenagers today are actually at a youth rally in Vermont. They sent me a text message. The bus driver, the person that filled in and drove our bus for us, didn't check to see if there was gas in it before they left, and they broke down on the highway, so they're about 2 hours late to the youth rally. But I know what it's like to sacrifice your day. I know what it's like to have a family, and thank you so much for being here. I won't be long. I just like to show you this thought, and we'll be done. I'd like to share with you this verse: "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, you might not be like me, and you might completely understand this verse. This verse, you might know what God has, what God intended. But I know for me personally, I've spent most of my life misinterpreting this verse. The first misinterpretation in my life, I thought this was all about stuff. Delight yourself also in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of thy heart. So, hey, you delight in God, you read your Bible, you go to church, He'll give you everything you want. That's basically what I thought. And He'll give you that new car, and He'll give you that beautiful wife, and He'll give you all that stuff. It's all about stuff. And I realized that's not really right. And I just through hearing and reading, I realized that, well, it's a little more than that. And I thought it was more like spiritual things. And then God kind of just revealed to me that it has nothing to do with stuff. And so I'm going to try to show you that today by having us diagram the sentence. Now, does anybody know, I won't make you raise your hands, but if you're in English class, you've had to diagram sentences before. And I know it's not fun. We'll try to make it a little bit more fun by having people stand up here and hold signs. But this sentence is actually, grammatically, it's a compound sentence. "Delight thyself also in the Lord," it's one sentence, and then he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's two types of sentences. There's compound and complex. Complex is too complex for me to understand, so I don't worry about. Just compound is this verse. It has "and" in between. But "and he shall give you the desires of thine heart." So I'd like to show you what that means. So we'll start here with you. And we'll have "he." Thank you. shall give. I'll give you two. He shall give. Other way. There we go. He shall give thee. And you're going to hold this like that because that's underneath. He shall give thee. Now, in this verse, who knows? You can raise your hand. He shall give thee. What is the word thee? What is the part of speech for thee? It's not the direct object. Anybody know? The indirect object. Good job. So he's giving thee something. What is he giving thee? He's giving thee the. And I always thought it was stuff. So I always thought he was, light thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the iPod of thine heart. But then I realized, wait, that's not really the verse. Let's hold him this way so we can all see him. Thank you. And he shall give thee the iPod of thine. I realized that's not really it. So you can have a seat. You can take that one with you. And I realized that's not really it. Come on over here. That's not really the iPod of thine heart. He shall give thee the Pastor Donald's car of thine heart. Now, if you know Brother Donald's car, you probably don't want that, but hey, maybe that's something you really want. You want Pastor Donald's car. I don't know. No, that's not it. You can have a seat. Maybe you think it's this. He shall give thee the Prince Charming of thine heart. That's what everyone hopes. What is of thine heart? Who knows what part of speech that is? Of thine heart is a prepositional phrase. Good job. No, that's not it. It is this. He shall give thee the desires. Not he shall give thee stuff. The desires. Thank you. You can all be seated. I'm just going to hold on to this. Put this right up here. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires. The desires. So God's going to give you the very things that you should want. It's not the things themselves. It's not stuff, but it's what you desire. And Brother Rich, I can't think of a topic. I know there's so many important things for teenagers, but something that each one of you can apply to your life. Please pay attention. I'll only be a minute. But in your life, the basis behind all that you do is what you desire. So we attack when we work with teens, we might attack a certain problems in your life. You might say, well, he and she has a really bad attitude. That person is really bitter. They're very hateful. They're very dishonest. Or we might look at those things that might be the problem, but the root of that is your desire. It is all about what you desire. You don't just do something accidentally. You don't just wake up and open your eyes in your middle of playing a game on your Xbox. That doesn't just happen. You desire to do it, and then you play it, right? Are you with me, teens? It all is based upon your desires. And I want you to examine. Just take a minute and examine your desires. Let's pray real quick. Father, thank you for being so good. Thank you for what you've done so far. Lord, I don't want to get in your way. Father, I don't want to hold back anything that you're doing, Lord. I pray that you'll work, please. Father, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that this is the basis behind everything that you do, but we need to focus on the problem. On the root of the problem, not just the problem. So your desires are influenced by many things in your life. But I want you to realize, teens, it's not natural to have godly desires. I think each person, if you were honest, you'd admit that we need to have godly desires in our life. But it's not a natural thing. Just like I said about the Xbox, we don't wake up reading our Bible. It is not a natural thing to want to get up earlier than we should or than we need to or we'd like to and spend time with God. It's not a natural thing to want to share your faith with somebody else that you don't know or maybe somebody that you do know. That's not a natural thing. The desires have to be from God. So the Bible says you delight yourself in the Lord and God is going to give you the things that you should desire. It's not something that comes on your own, but it comes from God. So first we need to see that we need to delight in God. You need to delight in God. You need to spend time with Him and fellowship with Him and enjoy Him and enjoy church and enjoy the things of God. But when you delight in the things of God, He'll give you the very things you should desire. I heard a quote once. He said, I learned that if you give a pig and a boy everything they want, you'll get a good pig and a bad boy. I want you to realize, teens, that our desires might be out of order. I want you to realize that your desires might not be where they should be. And I'd like you just to stop and just to think, just for a minute. We'll be done in just a minute. But I want you, if you had to right now, if you had to write down the top 10 things that you want, let's be honest. Don't fool around. Don't say, God. Hey, that's great. But let's be honest. The top 10 things that you desire, what would they be? Would it be money? Popularity? Would it be possessions like that iPod, iPad, iPhone, Xbox, PlayStation, whatever? Is it happiness? Is it love? Is it a feeling? So much people do is just all about feelings. Is it a relationship? I could tell you story after story of things that have ruined people's lives from improper relationships. Man, from girl running away from her parents, and I have so many things that have happened just since I've been a youth pastor. If that's your number one desire is a relationship, that's not right. Maybe it's just to have fun. Listen, your teenage years are some of the greatest years of your life, but it's not all about having fun. We can have fun, and we can have fun at church, but I really think deep down, you didn't come here to have fun. Honestly, if you wanted to have fun, you could have stayed home, played video games. You could have gone somewhere, I don't know, whatever you like to do. You could have gone party and whatever, if you really want to have fun. Hey, it's not all about having fun. And if that's your number one desire, that's all you're going to be thinking about. Maybe you're sitting here right now, the Word of God is being preached, and your desires are somewhere else, and you're not paying attention. And you're so sucked into whatever it is, and whatever is consuming you, that the things of God don't even affect you. Where are your desires? What do you want more than anything in the world? I'd like you to just ask yourself that. What do you want more than anything in the world? Do you desire to spend time with God? Do you desire to really get to know Him? You know, I can't help but think whenever I was dating my wife, I just wanted to get to know her. I couldn't wait to just sit and talk and get to know her and hear about some of her stories and all about her life. I wanted to get to know her more. And the more you spend time together, the more you get to know about each other. And it's the same thing with God. How much do you know about God? Someone at your school walks up to you and asks you what you believe. Do you know enough to tell them? Do you want to be in the middle of God's will? I can't tell you that there aren't too many things that are more important to me than being right in the middle of God's will, right where He wants me to be, right in the center of God's will. That's going to affect every decision that you make. It's going to affect everything that you do. Are you right in the middle of where God wants you to be? Maybe you just want to, back one point, and get to knowing God. I can't help but think of the theme of Marvel. When was the last time that you were just in awe of God? And I think it was great what just happened in the song, God's Been Good. We just had to stop and think, God has been so good to us. Man, when was the last time you did that? Has it been days, years, months since you stopped and said, God, you are so good. You are such a good God. What are the other things you desire? Do you really desire to please God? It's found all throughout Scripture. It should be the greatest thing. Everything that you do, you should want to please God rather than pleasing other people. And you want to make sure that you glorify God and lift Him up and see His name praised. It's more important than pleasing other men. It's more important than pleasing other people. It's pleasing God. I remember in the story of David, whenever he sinned with Bathsheba, it said, the thing that David did displeased the Lord. The things that you are doing, guys, the decisions that we're making, they're not pleasing God sometimes. And if it's a desire of yours to please God, you're going to think about that when you make certain decisions. How about in the Bible in the New Testament when it says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Yes, Brother Donald and I fasted some for this rally, and I know what it's like to hunger and thirst after something. I remember what it was like to just think of Brother Donald one Tootsie Roll. How good must that be? You imagine in your mind one French fry. It must be so good. In your mind, it's always this big. I don't know why. It's never that big when you eat it in real life. But that must taste so good. And honestly, it's all you can think about. You're sleeping, your stomach growls, it wakes you up. Everything you're doing, you're thinking, man, I'm hungry. Hey, you know, that's a feeling that we're all used to. When was the last time you longed for God that much? That you wanted to get with God and you wanted to get close to Him and you wanted to spend time with Him. You wanted His will and His plan and His purpose and His desires. That you wanted that more than anything else. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm hungry, that's pretty much the number one thing on my mind. When I'm hungry, Brother Donald, I know you're the same way. When we're hungry, it's all about food. Man, I can't wait to eat. I love food. I was preaching at my brother's church once, and I said, how many of you teenagers love food? And out of 20 teens, about two of them raised their hand. I don't know if they were just lying, or I don't know what was wrong with them. But how much do you desire God? Look over to Psalm 42. Verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That much. As the hart, as the deer, as it is so thirsty and it's panting because it can't wait to get a drop of drink. That's how much I want God. Teenagers, I don't really have much else to say. I feel like the Lord's just kind of leading. I'm going to kind of just close this. How much do you desire God? Is it the number one thing? I'm telling you, if your desires are right, it's going to change everything else in your life. It's going to change how you spend your free time. It's going to change the decisions you make. And I believe the biggest problem why we see so many wrecked lives is because our desires are all messed up. Man, it's all about you. You don't care about God. You sit in church and you do what you have to do, but you don't really want this stuff. That's why you didn't read your Bible this week. That's why you didn't pray, because you didn't want it. You know, we do what we want to do. We are a product of our desires. You don't read your Bible if you don't want to do it. You don't pray if you don't want to do it. You don't go soul winning if you don't want to do it. It is all a basis, is all a product of your desire. What do you want more than anything else in this world? Is it God? Do you desire Him that much? If not, we have some realigning to do of our desires. And we need to put God number one. Desire Him more than anything else in this world. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.